misinterpreted and misunderstood, and understandably so. We are so desirous for the rapture of the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and take us away, that we often automatically read it into passages in the Bible that are not about the rapture. Now that just shows our desire for it to happen, so it's not a bad thing. But then we need to go back, and that's the problem with our Bible reading sometimes is all of us, when we're reading through the Bible, we already know what we've read it before, we already know what it's saying, so we already interpret it before we actually read it. And sometimes that's not a good thing because our interpretation might not be absolutely correct. And so that's true here in Matthew chapter 24. Now, Anthony, if you'll come and help me, there might be some folks that don't have this outline. It's from 2 weeks ago. It's number 16, the captives at his return. If you don't have one, just raise your hand up there and Anthony will get you one. But if you're in Matthew chapter 24, look with me at verse 36 while he gets that covered. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So this passage is about the second coming. It says that no man knows about it, about the Father. Now, if you weren't with us, let me give you just quickly what we've already covered. Letter A is the instant of his return. Number one is the comprehension. All right, my Father only, the comprehension. He's the only one that knows the time of the second coming. If any Yahoo stands up and says, here's when the Lord is coming back, he's claiming to be God the Father in essence. Because the Bible says only God the Father knows the date. So when some man stands up and says, here's when Christ is coming, just write it off. Now, he might not necessarily be a bad guy, but he's just stepping on ground that he doesn't belong on. All right, the comprehension, the concealment, number two. But of that day knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. No man, so it's concealed from humans, not the angels of heaven, it's concealed from heaven. And as we saw last week, not even the Son of Man, not even Jesus knows the time that he's coming back. We're waiting for the Father to tell the Son, go down there. All right, so that's the instant of it. Letter B was the illustrations, and we find five illustrations of this second coming. We did not cover all of them last week. We covered number one, the flood. And in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them. Now notice, and took them. At the flood, who was taken? Not Noah and the seven others in the ark. Those that were taken were those taken away to judgment. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. When this coming happens, the evil, the wicked, the ungodly are taken away to judgment. This is not the rapture where the believers are taken up into heaven. Now again, when you confront or ask most Christians about this passage, they will insist that this is talking about the rapture. But that's and knew not until the flood came and took them. Who was taken? Took them all away. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken. Notice that same word is used. Verse 41, the one shall be taken and the other left. So this is about the wicked or the ungodly being taken, not the righteous being taken. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's kind of foreign theology or doctrine to most Christians these days. They kind of want Jesus, love, grace, peace, happiness, kind of like the hippies back in the 60s. They just want all that stuff and not the rest of the Bible. And so Christians are really biblically ignorant in our day, it's sad to say. And many times do not desire the sincere milk or meat of the Word. So the illustration number one was the flood. The reference was as it was in the days of Noah. Letter B, the rejection was they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And again, those things are not of themselves bad, but they just show a interest in the physical and not the spiritual. And that describes the world we live in right now, where the emphasis, the concern is on the physical, not on the spiritual. Everybody's worried about their next meal. Well, not really in America. We're not worried about our next meal. Worried about our next paycheck. Worried about this thing or that thing, but we're not concerned with the spiritual aspect. All right, So that was the rejection. Letter C was the retribution. The flood came and took them all away. God's judgment may be postponed, but it still will come. Noah preached for 120 years that the flood was coming. And people mocked. And it says that they knew not until the flood. Well, isn't that amazing? They knew that. Noah was preaching. Noah was declaring the word of God. They were hearing it and knew not. They were hearing, but they weren't listening. They weren't paying attention. We went on our Bivesville blitz yesterday, because of the number of folks, John and I ended up going together. And John likes to ask a question that I hadn't heard before, going door to door, giving a flyer, brochure from our church. He said, "Do you know where Bible Baptist Church is? Have you heard of Bible Baptist Church?" And we didn't run into anyone yesterday who said, "Yes, I know where that is," or "who that is." All of them that we did yesterday, nobody knew where Bible Baptist Church was. Now, the downside of that is that's not the first time we've been to those houses. We've been to those houses on other occasions when we've tracted every house in Bivesville, when we gave This Is Your Life to every house in Bivesville. But people have gotten our literature, but because they weren't confronted one-on-one personally, they couldn't tell us where Bible Baptist Church was. Now that's the thing. Noah preached for 120 years, but because the people weren't confronted one-on-one personally, they came out in groups, they weren't really paying it. They were more interested in their mocking and their ridicule of Noah and what he's doing than listening to it. They were hearing the right message, but they didn't get it. And so God's retribution was the flood came and took them all away. It's more than just coming to church and hearing it. It's listening to it. It's absorbing it. It's getting saturated by it. I don't want to preach this to you, but you know how many times I say something in church and somebody says, "Why didn't you say something about?" And I said, "I did. I did say something about that. Hearing, not listening." All right? So how much more are we missing when the Word of God's being proclaimed and put out there? How much are we missing? If we're missing little things, how much more are we missing? So we need to pay attention. All right. The first illustration was the flood, Matthew 24. Now I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 17. And we get to number 2. The second illustration, again, there are 5 illustrations about the second coming. The first one's about the flood. The second one is about the fire. And this could not be more timely than where we're at right now. And this was not planned ahead of time when we started these lessons on the second coming. I had these things planned out. And this goes back 8 months. And we just happened to hit Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Notice in Luke chapter 17, verse 26 and 27, we understand we're in the same context. "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Verse 28, "likewise also," all right, so here's a second illustration. Not only as it was in the days of Noah, but verse 28 says, "likewise also as it was in the days of Lot." Now this, the Bible's so good. Notice this. "They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded." This is something I didn't notice till I was studying this passage this time. The Word of God's so amazing. Verse 29, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." All right? So the first illustration of the coming of the second of Christ was the flood. The wicked were taken away to judgment, and the righteous were left to float through the judgment of God, the flood. The second illustration given is the fire here in Luke chapter 17. And that takes us back to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and the story of Lot back in Genesis 13 and 19. And we'll go back there in just a moment, but we won't go back there yet. The Lord picked a second illustration to illustrate His second coming, not the rapture, but the revelation. When He comes 7 years after the rapture, when He comes down here and gets this thing straightened out. Our missionary last Sunday, and I'm struggling for the name real quick, Morales, Brother Chris Morales, last Sunday, all right? Wednesday we had the Hazards here. But last Sunday, Chris Morales was here. And somebody, I think it was Bernie, came in and said, "I like your bumper sticker." And he had the bumper sticker on the back. "Jesus Christ is coming back, and boy, is He ever mad." All right, that's not talking about the rapture. That's talking about the revelation. Revelation chapter 6, when he comes back and the wrath of the Lamb is poured out upon the world. All right? That's the second coming that we're looking at here in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 28, when he comes back in vengeance, in fiery vengeance. All right? So let's look at that. Letter A. Under this illustration the Lord gives, notice letter A, the focus. Look at Luke chapter 17 and verse 28. We read it already. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Now that's similar to what it said about Noah up in verse number 27. They married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that the... So there's a similar thing here, so we know it's the same thing, but I want you to notice this. Again, there's nothing wicked about what they did. They ate, I hope you do. They drank, that's not talking about alcohol, it's talking about they drank. They drank water, they drank kombucha tea, haha. I don't know if they drank that or not. They bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Nothing wrong with those things. But here's the emphasis. They were materialistic. They were materialistic. Their interests were in these things and these things alone. Noah was out there preaching and warning. They weren't interested. They didn't care. They were interested in building and selling and drinking and eating. Could there be a better description of our modern-day society? That's exactly what the world's consumed with. Sonia asked me on the way to church. She was raised in a Christian home. So she just doesn't know reality. And I say that humorously. She was talking on the way. She said, what do people do on Sunday that don't go to church? Because she's gone to church all her life. She said, what do people do that don't go to church on Sunday? I said, well, on Saturday, they cut the grass. They wash the car. They do all the things they have to do outside because, you know, Monday to Friday is working. So Saturday, they take care of that. On Sunday, they do nothing. They stay in bed. They get up when they feel like it. They roll out of bed. They make a big breakfast. Sunday is that day off for everybody. She didn't comprehend that because she was raised in a home where they went to church every Sunday. I was not. I know what people do on Sunday. You say, what do? They eat, they drink, they buy, they sell, they plant. They do what the flesh dictates they do. And our modern society, Sunday is no day than any other day. And they do these things. That's the problem that we have. They were not interested in the spiritual. Now notice this, and here's what I like about the verse. Verse number 28. Couldn't you quicken this verse? Notice, likewise as it was also in the days of Lot. And notice how they word it. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. You know what that could say? As it was in the days of Lot, they ate, drank, bought, sold, planted, and builded. Now wouldn't that be easier to understand? Wouldn't that be quicker to read? So why isn't it that way? And can I tell you this? I just picked up an NIV to look at that verse, and you know what they said? They ate, drank, builded, planted, so they left the emphasis. Notice 28. It's on purpose. Every word in the Bible is there on purpose. And you might want to just underline or circle the word they. That's the emphasis of the verse. They did this. They did that. They did this. They did that. God is slowing us down. In English grammar, it's called a polysyndeton. I won't ask how many of you knew that. But that's what it's called in English grammar. And it's there on purpose to get us from reading through the list too fast. And it's getting you to see what they did. The emphasis is not on what they did, but on the they. This is what they were about. This is what they were consumed with. This is what they were doing. The they is the emphasis of the whole thing. And that's the emphasis of our day. This is what they are doing. Now, we're doing that too, are we not? I think you probably ate and or drank something before you came to church this morning. And the minute you get out of here, when the clock strikes noon, and the preacher's supposed to be done, and you get out of here, most of you are going to head somewhere where you can eat and drink. There's nothing wrong with those things. But see, the emphasis is what they were doing. They were eating and drinking, buying and selling, building, doing all this stuff, and no thought for God. It was a materialistic society. Now, I'm emphasizing this focus because I want you to see what leads to the next point in our outline, and that's letter B, and I'll give you the word, the foulness. F-O-U-L, not F-O-W-L like a bird. F-O-U-L, foulness. A consumption with material things will degrade, will lead downhill. Because the materialistic, when it takes its place in a human heart, becomes nothing more than an idol. We read about God's judgment on idolatry in the Old Testament. And we say, well, I don't have a little statue. I don't have a little god. I don't have a little trinket that I bow down to. No, but they builded and sold and ate. That was their idol. And idolatry leads to foulness. The wrong focus leads to foulness. You want proof of this? Keep your place there. Look at Romans chapter 1. And this is about the very same subject here. Romans chapter 1. You know the passage probably well. Notice verse 24. Romans 1 and verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's talking about men with men, women with women. Notice verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women, to change the natural use of that which is against nature, and likewise also the man, men. Leaving the natural use of the woman. All right? This is foulness. Now, what caused that foulness? Did it just... did people wake up? Did a society or generation wake up one day and all of a sudden go automatically into that? No. Go before it, verse 23. And change the glory of an incorruptible God into the image made like the corruptible man, and the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. All right, I've got written in my Bible next to verse 24, immorality. But next to verse 23, I've got idolatry. So before the foulness was a wrong focus. In verse 23, they were bringing God down to their level. They were not esteeming God. And that wrong focus led to their foulness. In our American society, we're past the wrong focus. We're to the foulness. I mentioned this Wednesday night, and the letters are still out there. This is not my lesson, but we need to cover this again. The Columbus Dispatch wrote an article telling us that the three mayors, or the three judges and the mayor of Cambridge of Guernsey County have decided they're not performing any more weddings of any kind. And I encourage you, and we put the letter still out there, I encourage you to get that letter with the phone numbers of the judges and call them. And you don't have to identify yourself, but call them and say, I know about the article that was in the Columbus paper. Now, it was in our local paper, too, the same day, but it was not the same article. It was shortened up. And that Columbus article has gotten a lot of attention nationwide. And that attention is being focused on Guernsey County and our judges and on our mayor. And the other side, you know, the loving, tolerant, peaceful side, they're calling those offices and cussing them out and threatening them and telling them they better perform a same-sex marriage. So what you and I as believers need to do is support them. Don't let them stand by themselves. Don't let them be a target. And that's what it's sad to say as Christians, that's what we do too often. We let somebody else take the bullet for us. Now these men, and I'm not talking about their politics, and I'm not talking about their political affiliation, I'm talking about their stand on not doing any more marriages. We need to support them in that because the other side is going to attack them on that. And if you saw, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday's paper, somebody that's a former Cambridge resident that now lives in California wrote in. And I thought it was interesting because they said they referred to these judges, and the article in Columbus never said anything about their faith, never anything about religion, never anything about God. It just said they have decided not to perform any more weddings. But the guy that wrote the letter in, and I don't know if there's been more since then, I missed Friday's paper, but I think it was Thursday's paper, the guy that wrote in said something about their God, small g. And twice in the article said, you know, they need to get something straightened out with their God, small g. Now again, the original article said nothing about God. But the focus of the people, their focus is when you take a stand for anything, it's anti-Christian. It's anti-God. And though the article didn't bring up God, the enemy did. And of course, showed their disdain for God by not putting a capital G on his name, but putting a small g on his name. The focus leads to foulness. People are saying, well, I don't see anything wrong with this. That's because your focus got out of whack a long time ago. When your focus is right, when your focus is not materialistic, when your focus is not human, when your focus is heavenly, it will keep you from foulness. All right, we find that in Luke chapter 17. I apologize for going off script here in my notes that are on in front of me. But that was their emphasis. They ate, they drank, they were consumed with the things of this life. And that's the way the average person is today. And they're going to continue doing that until all of a sudden, surprise, judgment falls. So that's the focus. Letter B, and I gave you the word, the foulness. Now turn back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Jesus, can you get this? Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. As it was in the days of Lot. There are people that want to believe in Jesus and the New Testament, but don't want to accept the Old Testament. When you give them verses out of Leviticus or this story out of Genesis, they discard it and say, we don't want that. We want New Testament. All right, we're in the New Testament. We're talking about Jesus. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, and he takes us back to Genesis 13 and Genesis 19. Again, we talked about this last week with the flood. People say, well, that's just a myth. I like what Vance Havner said about those that say the stories of the Bible are a myth. He said they're myth taken. Now, he didn't have a lisp. He just said they're myth taken. They're taken with myths. These are not myths. Jesus Christ referred back to the story. Look at it in Genesis chapter 19. There came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground and said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And he shall rise up early and go on your, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide all night in the street. All right, two angels came to the city of Sodom. Lot saw them and said, come and stay in my house. And they said, no, we'll just stay here in the street. We can get up early and get a good rise. And verse 23, and he pressed upon them greatly. Lot did not want the two angels staying in the street in Sodom. He was concerned for their safety. Now, he also was showing hospitality. He did not want them staying out in the street at night. Kind of like when the college quartet was here for our tent meeting, and Wednesday we found out Thursday they were heading to Akron. They didn't have anything till Sunday. They had 3 days they had to kill and go find a hotel and something to do. And they said, no, we're not going to let you stay in the street all night. You stay here and sing for us Thursday and Friday, then on Saturday you can go up to Akron and find your place. Hospitality. All right? He pressed upon them greatly. And they turned unto him and entered into his house, and as he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, or a house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. All right? Every man in the city of Sodom surrounded the house of Lot when these two strangers, they didn't know they were angels, when these two men came to visit. Verse 5, and they called Lot and said unto him, where are the men? Again, there, they didn't know they were angels. Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now, one thing I appreciate about the Bible is its sensitivity. The Bible has a way of describing something in acceptable terms. Modern society doesn't have that capability. Modern society does not know how to present things correctly. I'll go off script again. We put our daughter Jocelyn, when she first came to us at age 13, we did not have the legal right to get her out of the public school system. We sent her to the high school. And her first day she came home and said, you know what they did in English class? The teacher stood up and said, I want you to write about your first sexual encounter at 13 years of age. The second day of school, guess who was in the principal's office? And though he was, how did he word it? Though he was disappointed, he said he was not surprised. He knew the teacher, and he knew her background or whatever, but he was disappointed, didn't think she did it, but she did that. Now, you say, did it ever happen again? Jocelyn never told us again. You know why? Because she knew Dad would be back in the office the next day. She didn't want to go through all that. But the world does not see the foulness of that. That's acceptable to a lot of people in the world. When I told you that story, I saw your reaction on your face. You know why? You're clean. Your focus is right. But you sit out in the world says, so? I don't know that there was any other parent that went in and complained about that week. Now, I don't know that there was any other student that went home and told their parent about it that week because maybe they had that in eighth grade. I don't know. But that's the foulness of the society we live in, all right? The Bible puts it in sensitive language that we may know them. Now, you go back to Genesis. You always compare Scripture with Scripture. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. So we know what it means when it says, bring them out that we may know them. Now, again, the other side says, well, that just means intellectually. They wanted to sit down and have a discussion and find out where they were from and what the culture was back in their, you know, the foulness. Their focus is off. They can't see it. The Bible says in Romans 1, having their understanding darkened. All right? That's what, when people go back, well, that's talking about intellectual. Let's go on. Verse 6. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now, see, that just threw that other explanation out the window. They came and wanted to sit around the table and have, you know, coffee and pie and just quiz them about where they're from and what the culture. Lot shut the door behind him, and shut the door secure behind him and said, do not so wickedly. Now, would it have been wicked for them to sit down around the table and find out where? No. We know what that means. But the world's focus has made them foul. Look, if you would, back at one more verse, Genesis 13. I told you this is where that story actually begins. Genesis 13 and verse 13, for those of you that are superstitious. Genesis 13:13. Let's read the 13 words that are in that verse. For those of you that are superstitious. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Can I say this as we go back to Luke chapter 17? Before they were wicked and sinners exceedingly, what did they do? They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold. See, those things were not wicked and ungodly, but they were consumed with this world and the things of this world and the materialistic things of this world, and it led them to foulness. Be careful, believer. Be careful, Christian. You and I can be guilty of becoming too consumed with the material things of this world. And it can affect us spiritually. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with eating, drinking, buying, selling, all that kind of stuff. But we've got to keep our focus right. Their focus is wrong. It led to foulness. And then letter C, it led to the finish. We go back to Luke chapter 17. My heart was broken last night. I had my Bible sitting on the chair. I went over to the computer to use my word searcher, a concordance, to look up a verse, and had my notes for my morning sermon laying on top of my Bible. And I went over to the chair, reached over the back of the chair to grab my notes that are sitting on top of my Bible. And look what I did. I grabbed my notes and I didn't realize that I grabbed one page of the Bible with it and just yanked it up like that. Nothing will devastate a preacher like having his Bible ripped like that. I have no idea how to fix this. And you said, put tape on it. Ah, yeah, right, okay. We'll find some way, some professional-grade tape. So that's going to mess me up trying to turn back and forth. Luke chapter 17. It's before that, isn't it? Okay. The finish. The Bible says in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Remember, those are the ones that are taken out. Who are the ones that were taken? Not Lot and his wife originally and his daughters. Those that were taken were those that were destroyed and taken away to judgment. And so again, we're not talking about the rapture, we're talking about the revelation when God comes the second time and he destroys all the wicked. And those pass from the tribulation into the millennium that are righteous. All right? The finish. The same day that Lot went out, it rained fire and brimstone and destroyed them all. Let me give you some things about this. This is not on your outline, but it's good anyways. Notice the moment. The moment that this judgment took place. In verse number 29, but the same day, when that judgment came, nobody knew it was coming. Now, Lot had been warned, and he had run through the village, he had run through the city saying, get out, get out. He went and told his sons-in-laws, get out, God's going to send it. But the Bible tells us they mocked him. His testimony was so shot. Living in that city of wickedness, his son-in-laws didn't even believe a word he said. So Lot knew about the judgment, but the other people in the city that were building and selling and buying and eating and drinking, they were oblivious until the day that the judgment came. The moment took them by surprise. That's why the Bible says, watch ye. The moment shouldn't take us by surprise. Look over at Revelation chapter 1. There's a good word right here about this. Revelation chapter 1. You know, the book of Revelation, again, is not specifically about the rapture, though I believe the rapture appears in chapter 4 and verse 1. But the majority of the book from chapter 6 all the way to the end is about the revelation, chapter 19, when he comes back the second time. And in verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. I've circled that word shortly. Things which must shortly come to pass. Now people think that means it's soon. That was written 2,000 years ago. And we read shortly as meaning, well, it's going to happen soon. It didn't say shortly. It didn't say soon, it said shortly come to pass. You know what shortly means? It doesn't mean soon, it means swift. If there's a short step, it means you're going to cover that distance a lot quicker than you do a long step. That word shortly is not talking about it's going to happen soon. It's talking about when this begins to happen, it's going to happen swiftly. When God's judgment comes, when the flood came down on the ark, when that rain hit, it came. If you go back there and you read back in Genesis and how many days it took for the flood to cover the highest mountain, and you Google the highest mountain, find out how tall it is, and then compute all the rain that came down, that was not a hard rain shower like we've experienced here in the last couple months. That was rain coming down in such force that it would knock people to the ground. And at the same time, water was coming up from underneath. When that judgment hit, there was no time for second thoughts. I remember witnessing to a lady a long time ago and telling her about the tribulation, what's going to happen. Well, when I see those things begin to happen, you won't have that opportunity. So that word shortly in Revelation chapter 1 that a lot of folks say, well, see, they believe that 2,000 years is going to happen now. That's not what he's saying. He said when these things begin to happen, they're going to happen fast. When that moment comes, it'll be sudden. It'll be swift. It'll be surprising. It'll be severe. it'll be severe. The judgment will be severe. Not only the moment, but the manner. The same day that the Lord went out, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. That's a pretty serious judgment. Fire and brimstone coming down out of heaven? We have no idea. We go out there on an 89 degree day like it was yesterday, and I was out cutting the grass, and you feel the heat that's out there just from the sun that's so far away? And imagine fire and brimstone coming down. I told Aaron a joke yesterday. We live such a tough life. I go out and cut the grass for 90 minutes and just soaked with sweat and then jump in the pool. It's a tough life. Aaron came out and joined me out there, and I was telling her, I don't know what brought it to my mind. I said, and if you're of my generation, you'll remember that this was It was a joke about a certain ethnic group that you're apparently not allowed to tell jokes like that anymore. All right? People from Poland back there weren't thin-skinned. You could tell it, but these days if you say it, you know, it's a whole different world right now. But I was telling her the joke anyways. I said, these guys were sitting around and they were talking, and one guy said, well, I'm going to fly to the moon. Next guy said, that's nothing. I'm going to fly to Jupiter. Like I said, I'm going to fly to Mercury. And then that certain ethnic guy said, well, I'm going to fly to the sun. The other guys all laughed at him and said, you can't fly to the sun. You'd melt. He said, ha-ha, I'm going to fly at night. You can't do that. You understand? I hope if I have to explain that to you, I know where you're from. All right, that's how that goes. We cannot imagine fire and brimstone coming down from heaven. Imagine in Noah's day the rain coming down and how devastating that was to not be able to take a step because you're in water that's rising so quickly and the water coming down is forcefully knocking you to the ground so quickly. That's water. And though I have a great respect and fear of deep, deep water like the ocean, that's nothing like fire and brimstone coming down from heaven. I can't imagine. I'll leave you with that thought since our time is out. What a great thought to be left with. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And God, again, we skimmed the surface this morning of this passage in Luke and just how amazing and full it is.